Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, thank you for joining us for this West London Sport QPR podcast. I'm Dan Bennett. I'm joined, as ever, by West London Sport's Ian McCullough and former QPR striker Kevin Gallant. Kev, last week, I was very impressed. You were very calm, composed. You weren't refusing to get carried away, weren't getting excited. But how's that going for you now after a third win on the bounce on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, I did predict the 2-1, didn't I?
Yeah. You said me and Ian said 1-1. It was looking all right. There was going to be that for a bit, but...
Yeah. First time I've ever got a prediction right. Well, I always, when I do my predictions, I always sort of look at the team and the players, and I always, for this particular game, I think QPR against, I've got better players than Reading, so that's why I put them down to win. I know it doesn't always work like that, but regarding getting excited, no, I'm still keeping my feet on the floor, but, you know, another tough game on Saturday, but, you know, a fabulous win against Reading, not only because it's the third three games on the spin in a week, but 1-0 down, and it was a tough game. They were very direct, Reading. We coped with it. They were fortunate to get a penalty. We were unfortunate not to get blatant penalty, handball. So overcome all that. Willock was injured. Led come off, and who's been fantastic for us this season, and we managed and deserved to get the 3 points, so it was a great victory. So I'm still, you know, it's all about the next game, just the next game. So the way you, if you're a football player and the manager, they will just be thinking straight after the game on Friday, lads, well done, brilliant, recover, see you Monday. We're preparing now for Luton, which is a tough game.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, before we jump into it a bit more, I just want to say, if you're a regular watcher of these podcasts and you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please make sure you do, because that really helps us out. We're almost at 3,000 as well, so that would be a massive help for us. And if you're listening, do make sure you follow our feed so you can stay up to date with our latest episodes. And you can also sponsor or advertise on this podcast if you just email info@westlondonsport.com, or you can contact me on Twitter at @DanDBennett_. Either one of those would be fine. But Ian, as Kev mentioned there, it was kind of a game, wasn't it, that came down to decisions in the end, big refereeing decisions that kind of dominated the game. We sat together in the press box and watched it. Lots of positives again, maybe not as big a good a performance as the kind of last couple of games, but certainly a lot of positives to take again. What were your kind of big takeaways from it? What did you make of it?
I think in many ways, I mildly disagreed. I think it probably was the biggest performance of the week.
Do you think?
I mean, I just think generally 3 games in 6 days, you're at home, everything is going into it. You lose Willock, Ethan Laird leaves after 15 minutes.
I suppose I'm just thinking Sheffield United because of the
I don't disagree, but I just think, and also that, you know, that effort of getting 9 points in 3 games in a 6 day week is shouldn't be underestimated. That's a big result Friday. Just the effort that went into it. And you could sort of see, you know, in his chair, his reaction at the final whistle. He was sort of run himself into the ground. But I think both penalties were penalties. I think the one that Reading got was a penalty. I don't know how they've missed the one, the handball in the first half that wasn't given. I thought I thought Mick Beale was quite generous to referee and sort of giving him a pass on missing that one. And,
yeah, I think the fact they won probably helped a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, referees say they don't do it, but I mean, was it soft, the Rangers penalty? You could say it was, but it's definitely a penalty. And the ref, you know, there was a bit of a squaring up there maybe, but no two ways about it. He's dived in, he's got a touch, and in the modern game, that's a penalty. And fair play to Dyett, keeping his nerves, buried it in the corner. I mean, I don't know what everyone else was thinking. All I was thinking was, Joe Lumley's never had a penalty for QPR. He's going to save a penalty at some stage. And, you know, frankly, from a QPR point of view, he didn't. Dyett buried it. But I thought it was a really big win, really big. I think he got it right. The substitutions in the middle of the park, that's what won the game ultimately. Sam Field has had a big week, run himself into the ground. He was taken off. Stephanie Hansen.
Yeah, big call, wasn't it? I think everyone was looking at that. I certainly was thinking Irabunim's the one who's going to get taken off here because he was on the yellow, I think I'm right in saying. And he was just giving away a few fouls and that, but he went bold, didn't he? And it worked.
Yeah, I mean, Bill, you know, he's had two massive games against Bristol City and Sheffield United. He just looked leggy, pulled him at the right time. Stephen Johansson didn't really get him. A bit unfair to say he didn't get involved, but, you know, he's had better games this season, so he pulled him off. And I thought, you know, when Amos and Dizel come in, they give the midfield a bit more life. And Irabunim grew into the game. And, you know, I thought he had a really good game, actually. He gave away the penalty and... But aside from that, I thought he did really well. You know, he's got a great touch. I'm not going to say it, great touch for a big man, but ability to kind of control the ball and then run with it in the same movement is very difficult to do. And, you know, he's got it. And at 19 year old, he looks a really, 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 really good player. Villa have certainly got a player on their hands there. And Rangers, you know, have got him for the rest of the season. And, you know, it's looking good. But, you know, we said it before, we'll say it again. After last season, you can't get too excited. You just got to go. It's great. They're there. They're third. Better to be third than in the bottom, in the top three than the bottom three. But it doesn't really mean anything this time of year.
Yeah. I mean, just on Irabunim, I was listening to, I went to West Ham v Fulham on Sunday. Actually, something David Moyes was saying about Lucas Paqueta, about his like highs are really good, but the lows are maybe a bit too low. And I was thinking about like Irabunim being a bit like that as well. Not necessarily that, you know, the lows are majorly low, but he was probably giving away a bit too many fouls in dangerous areas. He kind of gave the ball away on a couple of occasions that could be quite costly, but then the highs are really good. I mean, because there's a lot of competition in there, Ian, in that midfield area now. Obviously, you've got Luke Amos, Andre Dizel, you've got Taylor Richards coming back, who maybe could play in that sort of third body in the midfield as well, alongside Field and Johansson. But I mean, from what I saw from Irabunim, I mean, if I'm picking the QPR team, just the best QPR team for a game, I'm probably putting him in there. Would you agree?
Yeah, on the evidence of the other night. Yeah, I don't disagree. But it's a nice position to be in. I mean, we've had this conversation before, and I know Kev disagrees, but centre midfield for me is the position on the park where you need depth, you need quality. And if you've got like six players you can call on, just to, you know, in the five sub rule era, it's massive to have that opportunity to take off two very good championship centre midfielders and bring on two, very good players that can come on and just up the ante a bit. And that's something that Reading didn't have. They didn't have the quality on the bench that QPR did. And ultimately, that's what won the 3 points.
Yeah, what about you, Kev? Does Irabunim get into your kind of best QPR team? Because, I mean, there's another debate as well, isn't there? Because a lot of the talk over the summer was about, and Beale kind of said he wasn't too keen on getting too many loan players in because he didn't want to develop players for other clubs. He wanted to develop QPR's own players. Obviously, Irabunim is going to look pretty difficult to get him back for any longer than this season because he looks like he's going to be a real talent. Does that come into it at all when you've got like Luke Amos, who is a QPR player, Andre Dizel, or is it just a case of, well, we've got this amazing, well, not amazing, but, you know, we've got this good player. Potentially, if we play him, we might get closer to promotion. Do you know what I mean? Is it about weighing that up, or is it just about going with the best team that's going to win?
I think it's going with the best team. And
is Irabunim, is he in the best team?
He put, well, on Friday's performance, I would say, yeah. But regarding, you know, if I'm a manager and I'm looking to win a game against Luton, I'm playing my best team.
Mm.
If you don't and you lose games, ultimately you get the sack. So you just always try and play your best team. Who's the fittest? Well, we don't know the ins and outs of training, and you know, we can only sort of, you know, guess what's going on or whatever. Who's training well? I don't know if the manager picks the team on the way the players train or their freshness or whatever. But at the moment, I'm not going to pronounce his name. I'm going to call him Tim. But at the moment, and he played really well on Friday, and he'll be in the team, I would expect. But you never know. He might. The game against Luton on Saturday is, you know, that's a tough game. They're a good team. They're very, what's the word? They press high. They want to close you down. I think they put the ball in the box. When they have the opportunity to put the ball in the box, they put the ball in the box. They're very dangerous from set pieces. So Tim's a big bloke as well. You need big players when you play against teams like Luton to head the ball out. And that's not to say Amos might come into that game, might come in and play alongside him for legs to close down as well. We'll have to wait and see. But they've got a lot of options in midfield. And the other lad's coming back. What's his name? Richards.
Yeah.
He's coming back. So I haven't seen much of him, but I'm sure he's raring to play because he played against Blackburn at the start of the season. And
yeah, about 10 minutes, didn't he? And then that was it.
And by the way, in a month's time, the season finishes for a month. So he will be desperate to get on the pitch and prove his worth. So they've got a lot of options. And whether the manager picks it on, you know, performances in training and freshness, or he goes with, you know, who played well in the last game. And I'm a great believer when I play football, if you won a game, then unless there's like a free game in a row, so they've had like 8 days off, I'm sort of expecting to play the next game if you played in the team that won the game before. So we'll have to wait and see.
I think Richards will be a good player to come back because from what Beale said, he can play in that midfield three, but he can also play a bit further forward. And obviously with Chris Willock being out for a few weeks or a couple of weeks, whatever it is now, he'll be quite a good option to have in both those areas, I think. But yeah, I agree with you on the Ibrahim. I think that's more a debate for the kind of people who are working off the pitch, isn't it? About playing your own players over loan players. But I think when you're manager, you just got to go with what's going to get me highest in the table. And I think, like I said, I think Ibrahim is that at the moment. I think there are some things he's got to cut out. Like I said, giving away too many fouls in dangerous areas, a couple of times when he was a bit loose in possession. But, you know, he's, what, 19? He's a young player. It's going to happen. And he's got time to improve. That's why he's out on loan.
The more games he plays, the better will become if he keeps fit, obviously. But there's a lot of talk in football. Oh, the manager, he's a great coach. He's a great coach. And I think the way you get better as a football player is, one, you're fit and you keep fit. Two, the manager picks you and you sort of learn you know, in games. And with games,
he'll be learning a lot, won't he, with what he's doing at the moment.
Yeah, because he'll be playing. So this big game on against Luton. So he played fantastic atmosphere against Reading. That's much better than playing in under 23 football for Aston Villa. And then he's going to go to Luton and it's going to be a right. I played for Luton and I played against them. There's no love lost between the two sets of fans. And there was a bit of, you know, banter between Luton's manager and the QPR about over-celebrating, which, you know, the irony on that is unbelievable. But I mean, it's going to be a tough, and it's another an experience for the younger players, because it's going to be a red-hot atmosphere. And so much on the line, 3 points, obviously. So you learn by playing football. And if Tim don't play, he'll be I would say be very disappointed if he ain't starting against Luton on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. And you can certainly see, I think, why Beale was so keen to get him in and why he was so patient in getting him in. You know, obviously we had to wait right to the end of the transfer window, but certainly looks like a really good signing from what we've seen of him so far. But Kev, I mean, rotation's been quite a big thing so far. Obviously with 3 games in whatever it was a week, is you're going to have to rotate the squad. No way can you play the same team in such quick succession. But all the rotations that he's made so far certainly seem to be paying off. I mean, he brought Clark Salter back in for Friday. Obviously, Ibrahim, we've just spoken about there as well. Johansson came back in after a rest as well. But it certainly seems like whatever rotations he's making at the moment are paying off, and he's making the right decisions, isn't he, with who he brings in?
Well, that's a great point. And I think we sort of spoke about it last year or something. He picks an 11 for the game. But then he's looking round, and how many subs has he got? 7. Is it 7 subs?
Yeah. But you've got five. Yeah.
So you're looking on the bench and you're thinking, turn around, do you know what? I can trust these players just as much as I trust the ones on the pitch. For whatever reason, the manager picks a team, and maybe for a tactic or whatever, and freshness, but he's got like 7 subs on the bench who can come in and do just as well as the 11 on the pitch. And that's a really good thing. And, you know, when you have that quality on the bench, you've got a good chance of winning more football games than you lose.
Yeah, I mean, Ian, that kind of brings on to a point that I think you were quite keen to talk about, in that this, maybe the squad's in a better position now than it was last season. I think, you know, especially with Chris Willock being out and how costly that was last season. I know it's only the first game with him out on Friday, but the fact they managed to win that without him kind of speaks to the strength of the squad, do you think?
Yeah, I still think that there's no one in the squad that is can directly replace Willock. I still think he's the best player in the team. But I do think if you look back at the Luton game last year, when Rangers, let's be frank about it, were kind of fortunate maybe to win that game 2-1. But the first sort of 60 minutes, Luton just killed them in midfield. To the extent they just lost, they run themselves into the ground and Rangers basically picked them off. And the midfield, I think that day was sort of starting midfield was Hendrick, Field and Johansson from memory. And they really got kind of, didn't have the legs to kind of deal with them. I think
not a lot of mobility.
If you look at the midfield now, I think you've got more legs in there with the players you've got. Amos obviously being back and Irabunum, you know, Dizel looks a much better player than he did last year. So I think the squad in that respect is stronger. Your fullbacks are better. Again, you know, Ozzy Kakai did very well to set up the goal on Friday for Dykes, but there was a noticeable drop off in the quality on the right side. That's not to say he did terrible, but you know, Lair's just a much better player, and you know, Kakai always tries his best, never lets anyone down, but there was a drop off there when Laird went off. So you are kind of, I think they may be weaker in the depths of the fullbacks, but I think everywhere else in the squad, I think they're, you know, the centre backs they got now, I think are better than the centre backs they had last year. You know, and I think Tyler Roberts is a good player. I think Roberts might score less goals than Gray and Austin, but I think he's a better fit for this side than them two were.
Yeah, I mean,
is that fair, Kev?
100%. Tyler Roberts for me is not an out and out number nine. He's more of a, like, I think he wants to play in the positions that Willock and Chair play in. It'd be interesting to see if he had a 1-to-1 and said, what's your favourite position? I think he would want to play in that position. So, but he's not an out and out goal scorer, because when he does play up front, and I said it when I saw him against Millwall when he played up front, he comes deep and he was linking with Chair and Willock. And I'm just remembering him just laying the ball out wide and a natural centre forward just runs straight and gets in the box for the cross coming. He didn't. He wanted to go and get the ball again and link up again. But he's a good player. He's got good technique, strong, gives you something different. And when Willock is injured, which he is at the moment, he's a very good replacement.
I agree. I think he's better in that position where he can get on the ball and run with it. There was a really good moment against Reading where he picked up the ball. I think he was just inside his own half and charged forward and cut the ball back in it almost. Created a really good chance. I think he's better at doing that. I think, like you say, he's probably more suited to that Willock chair role. But I guess that's a good thing, like I just said. Obviously, with Willock being out, I mean, that just on that, it was actually quite positive news, about positive as it could have been. I think certainly McBeal thought so, that he's going to be back around the time and sort of West Brom Norwich games. So he probably missed like 4, 5, 6 games, something like that, which obviously the games come quite quick succession before the World Cup, which in the grand scheme of things, given what the hamstring injury was last year, it's probably quite positive news. But to have Roberts who can come in and do that role, and then to have Dykes come back in up top, and you've got Richards coming back, I think there's a lot more depth there now. And it's something that, you know, going back to last January, obviously Mark Warburton was quite keen to add another player like that in case one of those got injured. And then obviously it turned out that Willock did get injured and it was really costly for his team. So I think certainly they got better options in that position. now. But I mean, just on that, Kev, as well, I think you spoke obviously last week about Ilias Chair and kind of wanting to see him step up, not in the sense that he's been bad this season, but in the sense that he really benefits with... Go on.
He hasn't been bad. I was only sort of saying it because the last season, when did get injured, and we were like thinking, well, come on, Ilias, you've got to step up into that, you know, into his shoes and be the talisman. And it didn't happen. That's all I was saying. The Willock's now injured. Now's your chance. I'm the main man now, because Ian just said it. He's QPR's best player at the moment. I don't think there's any sort of argument about that, especially at best attacking player. So he's out injured. Come on, Ilias, step into them shoes and you be the main man. I'm not saying he's had a really good season. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he can now step it up even more.
Yeah, because he likes to combine with Willock as well. But I think against Reading on Friday, I thought he had a good performance. So, I mean, hopefully that kind of shows that he can do that, and he can obviously take on the responsibility while Willock's out.
Yeah, no, 100%. And time will tell. Regarding Willock and the hamstring, I mean, it's one of those. The manager will have to like sort of be careful with him. As in, I would say when he does come back, it will be you're playing an hour here and then an hour and then
it's
build.
Just like, it's frustrating, isn't it? Because it was the same as the start of the season where he just wanted. Then he played against Middlesbrough 70 minutes or whatever it was. Then he comes out. It's like just want to see him play all the time. Do you know what I mean? It's like he's so important.
It's just a trick. The hamstrings are just a tricky injury.
I think Robert's now fit. Amos coming back. There's less. You don't need to rush it. If he's not ready in 2 weeks, don't rush him. Just get it right. I think the players they got now, if you can pick up some points from Luton on Saturday, just keep picking up points. And then that's the last thing you want to do. Rush him back. Feel you have to play him, have to play him, have to play him. And you make it worse.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if QPR, if we win the next few games, it'd be like, just take your time, take your time. I know what managers are like. You're losing games and he's turning around to your player. When you fit, when I need you, I need you. But if you're winning, you sort of, well, yeah, take your time, be 100%. I always think when you're hamstrings, when you think you're 100%, give it another week or 10 days. To make sure you're 100%, then that means like in your mind. So it'd be interesting to see, will he be back before the World Cup sort of break?
I certainly hoping that it will be, because I think around the time of the Norwich and the West Brom game, there's still a few more games to go after that before the World Cup. So, yeah, hopefully we do get to see him again before the World Cup. But like say, you don't want to, when you've got a month break coming up, I think that could actually do QPR some good, you know, a big break in the middle of the season. Because last year, not rest, run out of steam, but the injuries and stuff really cost them. So maybe it might be a good thing.
Rest up but then all teams will probably be thinking that.
I mean, you got a few going away, but not many.
Yeah, all teams will be thinking, you know, we've got a month's break. They're probably, I don't know what QPR are doing. Will they be going, does anyone know? Are they going to do some warm weather training?
I don't know. You think?
I'd be very surprised that they don't go somewhere. And it's like a mini pre-season again, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't think they give them a month off. That would be, wouldn't go too well.
A week off and then you're back in 3 weeks. And then, you'll do a go away for a week and where you can get some real 2 or 3 times a day training in. And then, you know, if QPR are in a position at that stage, is still in the top 6 and you're like kicking on for the rest of the season, then everyone's refreshed, recharged and raring to go.
Okay, we've got to give him a mention. We've spoke about him enough on this podcast in the last few weeks for not so good reasons, missed chances, but Lyndon Dykes comes into the team, scores twice, loves playing against Reading, scored twice against him last year on his birthday as well. Another headed goal, a really good finish with his head. You know, there's been no issues with his heading this year, has there? Any chance that comes to his head, he's buried it. It's just the ones with his feet, but obviously scored from the penalty spot as well. Let's just hear what Mick Beale had to say about him, actually, because he was very complimentary of him after the game. You touched on it there, but obviously massive for Lyndon Dykes to get those 2 goals today.
I'm delighted for him. I really am. I'm absolutely delighted for him because he carries it around his neck more than people realise. You know, I work with the boy every day and he gives us everything he's got. And, you know, today it's an instinctive header. And then the biggest thing for me is we never nominated a penalty taker. Because in the moment, we've got three or four that want to take it. You don't know who's on the pitch. So in the moment, he picked the ball up and he went and took it. And I think, you know, he's missed a couple down that end this season. And, you know, it's fair to say that he knows that he would like to score more. He knows that the fans are demanding him to score more. So to pick that penalty up and score it late on, I think that shows the quality of the man, really. So he's always got my backing because of how he is around the building. He actually apologised to me on Tuesday for the miss in the second half at Sheffield United. I've said to him he needs to stop that. It's the second time this season he's come and apologised. He doesn't need to. He's given me everything. This is not. This is a boy that doesn't cut any corner any day. So he deserves tonight, and I'm absolutely delighted for him.
Kevin, I mean, how, you know, as a striker, I'm sure you'd have been through a few difficult runs where you missed some chances and that. It's just, we've spoken about this before. I mean, we've said it a lot of times that maybe this can be the time he kicks on and it's not really happened. But do you think this is quite big for him with Willock being out and obviously that presenting an opportunity for him to come back into the team when he'd not been in the last couple of games?
Yeah, so you see, that's football in a nutshell. It's like one player gets injured, you're out of the team, you come back, you score two, you're the hero. And things can change quickly in football, so quickly like that. Very good header, you know. And you're right, we need more chances to go to his head.
Because, cross it in the air.
Yeah, just head it in. When he was going to take the penalty with his head.
Yeah, me too.
And he took the penalty very well, looked confident. He looked confident and he'll be buzzing up, obviously be buzzing. Two goals, match winner on Sky. And he'll probably be raring to go now for the Luton game. And we keep saying it, and you're right. Is this, you know, the kickstart? Because that when that first season, when he didn't score for ages, and then he went the last 2 months of the season, he went on a run. And every time he had a shot, it seemed to go in, and he wasn't thinking about it. It was just put your foot through it, and it goes in the back of the net. And he needs to get back to that run. And he's now got an opportunity to be in the team because of Willock's injury, and to be the number nine. Well, hopefully he can kickstart his goal-scoring run this season, those two goals.
Yeah, but I hope it works out.
He's scored three goals now, and if he'd have taken those two easy chances, he'd have five. And you're like, that's a good return at this stage. Yeah,
very good.
Yeah.
No, exactly. That's what I spoke about a lot. I mean, it's just... And they weren't... It's not like we're saying, oh, we could have, but, you know, they were kind of... sort of difficult. They were just really easy chances. I mean, the one against Hull, I mean, you know, vast majority of players in the Football League are scoring that chance, aren't they? I don't know what he was
Ian, would you have tucked them away in your heyday?
Mums and dads up and down the country would have tucked that away. Grannies, aunties, uncles, you know.
But I mean, like Lyndon, he's like a player that I find myself rooting for, because like I think he does so many good things on the pitch, and he like really puts a shift in for the team. And we kind of spoken earlier this season about that positive effect that he has on Willock and Chair by doing the kind of dirty work. And I really want him to do well. I want him to get the goals to go with it. So I was pleased to see him score twice. And like, so hopefully that can be the sort of time, you know, that can be the catalyst for kicking on now. But we've said that quite a lot in the past, and maybe it's not quite happened for him, but let's see. But
I think with him as well, like, I mean, that first goal is just it sounds really obvious, but he just attacked the front post. You know, I'm not blessed in striking. I'm never a striker, but you know, you always attack that front post.
Yeah, he's attacked the front post, but that's the main thing for him. He's done it sort of without thinking. So the chances that he's had that he's missed, and you're thinking, they're like sort of easy chances. He's had time. This is just like a spur of the moment. I'll get my head to it and it goes in. And they're like harder chances, but he's tucked them harder ones away than the easier ones where I've got a bit of time and I'm thinking about it. When you're striking, you just do it without thinking, then that's when the goals come.
And I think he deserves a lot of credit, really, for that penalty. He's a striker. Strikers should be taking the penalties. But I think all the penalties he took in front of a loft were in lockdown. No one there. You know, when you're struggling, you've missed sitters in front of those fans. And the fans have never... They've stayed behind him, to be fair. You've got Joe Lumley with the mind games and the Reading player scuffing out the penalty spot. There's that two-minute delay. It's live on TV. There's a lot of nerves there, you know. Yeah. And he did well. Great penalty. Put it away. And you know, you sort of look at him and go, he's got it. He's got something there. He's not, you know, and you do hope it kicks on. I mean, he hasn't in the past. He sort of scored goals and you think, here we go. But, you know, hopefully now, just for his own confidence, you know, that'll be something. Because, I mean, to take that penalty, it wasn't the sign of a man that's got no confidence and looks bereft and in front of goal. He buried it beautifully. And, you know, he deserves a lot of credit for that.
And something you'll have just heard Mick Beale say there as well, and we had him after the game, Ian, was that they didn't have a penalty taker. They didn't know what Beale hadn't said, you're the penalty taker. So it was kind of in the moment. And, you know, Dykes goes and picks up the ball, and with all the things that you just said, with the pressure on him, and he goes and takes it and scores it. So, I mean, Kev, that is a positive sign in itself, isn't it? That he's at least wanting to, he's not shying away from it. Because sometimes... it's been a theme. I heard them talking about Monday Night Football the other day. They were saying about that pressure, and like Gary Neville was talking about when he was going through a tough patch and he was sort of shying away and didn't want the ball, but Dykes actually went and picked it up and took it. So that's a real positive, isn't it?
When you take a penalty and you know everyone's watching you, so the pressure's there. Not only is the pressure from the crowd, but it's on live on TV. And he's probably, his family in Australia are probably watching it as well.
His family are in the ground. His mum was there.
Well, yeah, more pressure then, so they're there.
Want to let your mum down, do you?
Well, not really, but you just don't. I've missed a penalty, and you just feel like you just want the ground to swallow you up. You're just like, because everyone's, you know, everyone's just like, watch this, like, not a nice feeling. And for someone, now it would have been interesting if he would have took the penalty if he hadn't scored the first goal. Would he have had the confidence? Yeah. The first goal give him the confidence to go and take the penalty? The penalty was before the first goal. Would he have took it? Would he have scored? So sort of the really good header is now buzzing, and now yeah, penalty, you're the penalty taker, I'm confident, I'll go and he stroked it in lovely, didn't he?
I mean, I wouldn't don't know what was going through his mind, but you kind of wouldn't be human, wouldn't you, if you're thinking, if I miss this
yeah,
in this game, it's either gonna make or break me. And I think, you know, that's,
I was kind of watching through my hand, you know. I was like, oh, please score it, just bury it.
Watching it, I thought he's gonna whack this as hard as he can. And he didn't, he just calmly just stroked it into the bottom corner.
Yeah, I mean, because like you say, and even with the headed goal, it's like that's kind of in a category of itself, because we know he can score with his head because he's done it already this season. It's the chances with his feet where the issues lie. And you know, with that penalty, it was like, oh, just, you know, you just really wanted him to score it. And thankfully he did, because, you know, I think, you know, like I said, had he missed that, it's just like you're back to square one again and everyone's deflated and you're like, oh, like, it's such a big penalty as well. And, you know, that win puts him up to third and, you know, it was a big moment. But like I say, fair play to him, because he actually took it on and decided to take it and did what he had to do. So, but yeah, like Ian, as I mentioned there, obviously up to third in the table now. I think you've been quite keen to stress it, you know, it's early, let's not get carried away as Kev has been. But is it still too early to say that this team are sort of genuine promotion contenders? Are we not quite there yet to label teams as that? Or what do you think?
Well, I think they were for most of last season, weren't they?
Yeah.
You know, they were in the top four until March. So,
I read something, Ian, that are we 3 points better off at this stage last season than last season? I've got a good team. But I just feel I'm not going to get carried away, because I think we could be a few injuries away from. I mean, if the fullback gets injured, absolutely, and Willock doesn't come back, I'm sort of a little bit worried about the fullback situation. We've got the depth there to maintain a promotion push.
Mm. Yeah, do you agree with that, Ian, as well?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've already said, like, you know, the fullbacks, I think they do look. We do look a lack depth on either side, but. Again, I mean, I didn't really get the whole doom and gloom at the start of the season. I mean, I think that I know there's a lot of high expectation last year, but I don't want to really bring up Brentford, but the way they went up, they knocked on the door for about 3 years before they actually broke through. And really last year, let's be frank about it, was the first season that Rangers have, since they got relegated from the Premier League, was the first season where they've, you know, been in contention for promotion. It's usually been, you know, between sort of 16th and 12th, that's where they're sort of where they've lived. And albeit where they fell away last season, there's various factors for that, but you know, the injuries were significant in you know, for that downturn. But so I always thought, like, the players they've kept and the players they've lost, you've kept the players that were good for you last year, and you brought in players that were better than what you already had. And you've got a new manager come in. And I think now he's got players available to him. We're sort of just starting to see what he wants, what he can do. And the team look good. They do. But, I mean, there's no... I don't think this division... There isn't a team like Fulham were last season that is headed so far ahead of everyone else. I really do think there's some good teams in there that will be there or thereabouts. But, you know, I don't look at Norwich in the same way I looked at Fulham last year. And I don't look at... I certainly don't look at Burnley and think, oh, you know, you're anything to fear. Got some good players.
As well, obviously, they're the league leaders,
I think,
at the moment.
I mean, they got a few injuries at the moment. I think they'll be there or thereabouts. I think Stoke will be there or thereabouts. I think Sunderland will be there or thereabouts up there. You know, Luton will be sort of knocking on the door. There's no none of those teams I've mentioned there are stand back and go, oh yeah, they're a great side. They're good sides, got some good players, you know, well coached. You know, it's wide open, I think. And there's no reason why Rangers, you know, can't be in the top six. And I think they should be considered. I mean, I said last week, they should get more respect than what they do. It's kind of like, oh, QPR a surprise package. Well, how they a surprise package? They were, as I say, on Paddy's Day, St. Patrick's Day last year, they were fourth. All right, and they finished 11th, but they were there all season. So, you know, there's no reason why they can't be sort of, you know, in contention for a top two, top six spot. No problem.
I agree.
I think it's early days. Completely early days. Yeah.
Almost had you there. I agree. I think it's...
Hey, Ian, just tell the truth. Champions.
Going up.
Well, I said last year, I backed them at 30-1, so if they're champions, the beers are on me.
Yeah.
How much have you got on it?
Pound.
Yeah. 30 quid. But yeah, no, I agree. I think it's a weaker championship this year. And I think QPR are in a better situation to challenge this year than they were last year because of the depth that they've now got. I think I agree with you, and I think the squad is in a stronger position. But I think, yeah, like I say, two things in it. It's gonna be keeping the players they've got fit, which is the same for every team, really, isn't it? Injuries sort of make or break a season, but especially for QPR with someone who's as important as Willock. I know they obviously won without him on Friday, but you know, if he misses sort of lengthy spells, certainly do you think the team's going to suffer as a result. So hopefully he can come back in the form that he was in. And I think getting some more fullback depth, because like I say, I mean, Ozzie Kaka can come in and do a job, and he did well on Friday, but I think that left back as well, you're looking at a Kenneth Powell injury and suddenly you're in a real like struggle, aren't you? Because of what Powell gives you going forward as well. I know they can put a makeshift centre back in there for a game, and it probably won't be too costly. But I just think, you know, if Powell or Laird miss a lengthy spell, then that could be really problematic. And we saw how big injuries were last season, so I do think they need to address that in January. I think that is something that Beale probably will be lining up already and thinking about early in January. Need to line up some fullback depth, because I think without that could be a potential area for concern. But anyway, we'll move on to our predictions then, and our sort of preview. I said, Kev, you said Luton, obviously one of your former clubs, obviously just started pretty well this year, not quite as good as they were last season so far, but they've been decent. What would you like to see Mick Beale do here for this game? You say, is it a case of keeping the team the same as what it was against Reading on Friday? And we said they've had a bit of a break now, haven't they? Do you think he sticks a winning team, or because of the challenge of Luton? It's quite unique, isn't it? Kenilworth Road with the pitch and everything. Is that
tight? QPR's quite a tight pitch and good atmosphere. They're a physical team. They're good at set pieces. They put the ball in the box. They're not like a real, you know, silky. I mean, I say QPR's like sort of a silkier football team passing and move. They're not more like that. They'll put the ball in the box very early, and when they get in a position to, they won't turn down that opportunity. So it's going to be a tough game. I would say he'll go with a more physical team, his biggest team that he can put out. And I think it'll be a tight game. I think we sort of got the edge on them. I think they've in 33 years, they've only beat us two times. I might be right. Oh, really? I think something like that.
Yeah.
And we're sort of a bit of a bogey team for them. So I'm going to go 2-1 QPR.
Do you think Rob Dickey, is he fit now, Ian? Is he ready to come back in? He's got been training, hasn't he?
Well, he came on again on Friday, didn't he?
Oh, of course, yes, you're right. Yeah. So, minutes. He's back. Yeah, do you think he comes back in, Kev? Is that one for?
I think there's a good chance if he's 100% fit and the manager thinks he's fit enough to start the game, he'll be desperate to get back in the team and play. Let's be fair, he's been our best centre back for the last three seasons, so.
He certainly brings that strength and physicality, doesn't he? That you would just.
He's big and
out of all the centre back.
The way QPR play, he's probably the best right-footed centre-half who can come and bring the ball out into midfield and start attacks. So I would not be surprised if he starts the game on Saturday.
What do you think?
I mean, is Laird fit for Saturday?
Yeah, he'll be fit. Yeah.
It's a precaution, wasn't it? I think he was sort of saying afterwards that it was more just to protect him because of the games that he played in quick succession. So hopefully he's...
I would say Dickie will come back in. It'd be just interesting to see who's going to play in the midfield. Will Amos come in for Johansson for more energy and more legs? And then maybe bring Johansson on when the game settles down a bit in the last half an hour where he can pick a pass. Yeah, it'd be interesting. The manager has got good problems to select a team because he's got a good squad, good players, especially in the midfield area. I mean, the centre-half area and the midfield area are like, you know, who'd you pick? Because none of them are going to let you down. The right-back and left-back pick themselves, and the front three at the moment, because Willock's not there, I think pick themselves, Dykes, Chair and Roberts. It's who's going to play centre-half and in midfield.
Mm. What do you think, Ian? Who plays in those positions for this one?
I generally don't know. I mean, Leon Balogun hasn't done much wrong, has he? Play centre back. I mean, Dickie would always be in my team, but you know, I think I would be happy if any of the four centre backs playing, whoever plays. You know, Jimmy Dunn hasn't done much wrong. You know, I think the key to this game is going to be the midfield. I think they really do press. You know, they were actually quite good actually in the first hour of that game at Kenilworth Road last year. The Scottish midfielder whose name forgets me at the minute, Alan
Campbell. Yeah,
good player. I like. He looked really good that game. So you need legs in there. It's going to be a real battle. The lad they bought from Barnsley's done quite well. Morris, you know, the big lump who was at Walsall,
Adebayo.
He's, you know, he's back scoring goals again, but. You know, and they've got a manager who's very, very intense kind of human being who's desperate to beat QPR. He's got a terrible record. I don't think he's ever beaten QPR from when he was Stoke manager and that. And, you know, I think he's going to be desperate to win that game. Their fans are going to be up for it. It's going to be a tough game. It is going to be a tough game. But, you know, is it any tougher than going to Sheffield United? Is it any tougher than going to Watford? Is it any tougher than going to Millwall? You know, Rangers have been good on the road. I'm going to take him to win 2-0. I think Carrick, keep it going. I think honestly, again, the game last season, the Kenilworth Road, Senny wasn't playing. I mean, it showed on Friday with difference having him between the sticks. I mean, just that.
Yeah, when he come and claim, you know, that cross at the end.
Claim that cross right at the
massive,
end.
Massive, wasn't it? It's like,
you know, yeah. But the game's not the game at Bristol, at Sheffield United, and they push him the last sort of 15 minutes. He's just so confident and comes and takes crosses and actually just gives Cummins confidence to the rest of the team. I mean, I've said it before, like when he wasn't playing last year, it was a massive loss, a huge loss, almost as big as Willock not being there. Just the confidence he gives to the defence. So yeah, I'm going to get Rangers to keep it going. I'm going to go for 2-0.
All right. Well, sorry to bring the mood down, but I think it could be a draw. I think it's a tough game, tough place to go, and it kind of off road playing Luton. Yeah. So I feel like a draw. Well, actually, I think it'd be a good result as well. I think like 1-0 maybe. I know I said 1-0 last week, but I'm going to go 1-0 again. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it was quite a similar team to what he played against Reading, maybe go with Vera Boonham again. I think Clark Salt has looked really good, actually, when I've seen him play. I know he's obviously been injured for most of the season, but I think he'll keep his place in the team. And then it's just sort of who plays next to him, isn't it? Really, obviously with Dickie coming back, Zigo back in. I like, you know, really like Jimmy Dunn. I think he's had a good season as well so far. It's, like I said, so much competition in there with Balogun as well. It's really, really difficult for the manager. It's obviously a good job.
They've got a big two centre forwards. They're big. They're physical centre forwards. So is a QPR going to go, well, I'm going to play our most physical centre halves? Who are they? Because they're all quite physical, really. But tough decision, isn't it? It's like Balogun is like sort of an out and out defender, isn't he? He's just like a stopper. Mm-hmm. When he is, but also can bring the ball out into midfield. Jimmy Dunn, solid, good in the air. And Clark Sorter is more left footed, brings balance to the team, can bring the ball out as well. So it's an interesting sort of, you know, we said about horses for courses. I think that will be in the mind of the manager's team selection.
Yeah, I like Clark Sorter because obviously he brings you that left-footed balance as well, but he's got like speed about him. So I think that on the bigger pitches as well, especially, it works, because if you have like someone more physical alongside him, not that Clark Sorter's not physical, you know, he can do that side of the game as well, but if you've got like a Dickey or a Dunn alongside him and then you've got him, I think it works really well. So yeah, I think he'll keep his place, and then it's just, interesting to see what he goes with.
He's been really impressive, actually, Clark Sorter. The last couple of games, he was. I've got to be honest, I had seen him play for other teams, but I hadn't really noticed him, if that makes sense. So I didn't know a great deal about him when they signed him. He did okay the first game at Blackburn, but it wasn't really enough to sort of say, yeah, he's really good. But I mean, at Bristol City, he was really, really good. And, you know, again on Friday, I thought, you know, because there are a handful up front, Reading with Carroll and Lucas Yao. I thought, you know, they him and Jimmy Dunn dealt with them pretty well. So it's going to be another test on Saturday. So
it'll be a similar task, won't it, probably, with Luton, with like Adebayo and like, you feel like, if that, because it worked quite well against Reading dealing with those, maybe he just plays.
And they got a bit more pace about them. I think the Luton forward's a bit more pacey than what Reading have.
What, than Andy Carroll?
Yeah, that Morris is quite quick. I remember Morris scoring against the Rangers for Barnsley in lockdown when Barnsley, what do you call him, Ishmael's team, just physically beat up QBR. And
yeah, he started really well as well, hasn't he,
Morris? Yeah, he's been a good pickup for them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, it should be an interesting game anyway, whatever happens, but we'll see. But yeah, let us know what you think about what we've spoken about today. If you're watching us, do leave us a comment in the comments section below on YouTube, and leave us a like as well. And like I said, do make sure you're following our podcast feed, stay up to date with all the latest episodes, and leave us a positive review as well. That would be great. And thanks for watching or listening, and we'll be back again very soon. Sports Social Podcast Network.